Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Eric Thornton, Commodity Specialist here at McKinney Flavelle, filling in for Mike Coughlin today on July 2nd, 2021. Happy Independence Day weekend, everybody, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Today, I have with me Mr. Kevin Combs, Vice President at McKinney Flavelle. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Eric. Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Doing very well, thanks. And this is my first time MCing for Mr. MC Mike Coughlin, but everyone's probably getting ready for vacations out there. And
amazingly enough, I just want to know, what do you think the percentages of three-day weekends that Mike has actually been in the office on a Friday?
Probably less than 20%, I would say, if I had to guess.
I think your over-under is pretty darn good. I'd have a hard time taking that bet one way or the other. It's just a fact. He has to leave the ship for us on all these Fridays. So here we are.
Here we are. But yeah, I'm sure you know, everyone's got plans. So we'll get to this week's podcast and keep it short and sweet, which, speaking of sweet, I think we're going to talk a little bit about sugar today, Kevin. And you were hinting at some movements here this morning on the number 11 and number 16 markets. So what are you seeing on the number 11s if we start there first?
Yeah, amazingly enough, here we are. We're rallying again, and prices want to keep moving up with the number 11. And I think a lot of this has to do with the weather, particularly in Brazil. You know, we just had a little bit of a frost situation develop there that I think people are just expecting to see a little bit of a hit to the cane crop. And, you know, here we are July 2nd, so we're about 3 months into the current crop. So still, you know, quite a ways to go this year. So certainly that could have an impact for some of the cane for this year and for early next year as well, for that matter. But, you know, I don't think this is going to be a major event from, you know, looking through some of the weather situations, temperatures, et cetera. And when I look at the global S&Ds, just, you know, taking down Brazil maybe a little bit, I still think we're at a surplus for the year, and you know, our early numbers for the next crop are also at a small surplus. Obviously, we still have a long way to go to be talking about next year's cycle, but still, it's 4 years in a row of a surplus, Eric, and yet here we are at 18 cents, and mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really seem to be a supply situation. I think it's just taking a look at where sugar is, you know, the major exporters, what's going on there. You know, certainly in India, there's been a lot of talk about increasing their ethanol and, you know, getting rid of some of their exports. And that's obviously been a huge factor over the past several years. And when we see futures low, India having a big surplus and, you know, providing some export subsidies to encourage those exports. And not a lot of talk about that, not a lot of activity there. And so therefore, you know, the market's quiet and people start seeing that bullish news and, you know, looking at commodities in general, as we've been talking about, whether you're talking about grains, softs, whatever, you know, markets have been very strong, disruptions in shipping, et cetera. So a lot of support out there. And here we are with the world market trading over 18 cents today. It looks like, you know, we're probably highs for multi-year high at this point.
Wow. Yeah, and I think that's translating into the 16 movements as well. I see that market's up today and showing green across all the futures there too. And, you know, one of the things could be is some concern maybe of an early tropical system moving through the Caribbean right now, and yeah, maybe has its sights set for Florida later into this weekend into early next week, but doesn't look to be a big storm.
Who names these things, Eric?
Yeah, I know.
It's Hurricane Elsa? I mean, how can Elsa be bad?
Hurricane Elsa, right? Yeah, it's Frozen. Is that the girl?
I think that's Frozen. That's what I'm counting on. I have two daughters who watch that show and sing those songs to drive me crazy at the time. And yeah, you know, I thought this was a pleasant thing. And here we are using it as a hurricane name.
Sheesh. Well, hopefully she's not too strong coming through here as a storm. But right now it's a Category 1. And again, there's a lot of uncertainty with this one, moving pretty fast, and they're not sure of the intensity as it gets closer to the Gulf, and maybe Florida could go anywhere from up the East Coast into Florida or into the Gulf. But you know, maybe that's causing some concerns on the 16s. What else are you seeing though for the 16 market?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on this hurricane activity, getting people excited heading into a 3-day weekend. And then in general, it's just the same story. Here we are. I think last time I was on a podcast or a webinar, I can't remember which, but one of the things I said was, you know, we're hearing good news. We could have some potential for reassignments on the TRQ. And guess what? It's been crickets since. So I kind of was, you know, expecting to see something here a while ago. Typically, the USDA is on top of this and moving forward with at least the reassignments. And when you do the math, you look at it, the Philippines has been the one country not shipping forward on their large TRQ position. And that could be like 100,000 tons. The USDA has been carrying a TRQ shortfall this last month of 147,000 tons, but typically, you know, it's under 100,000 tons. And with the Philippines not shipping right now and probably not having that sugar available, you know, your shortfall is probably somewhere between, you know, call it 225,000 to 250,000 tons. So there's, you know, definitely a little bit of lack of available sugar at this time. And here we are, July. You've really only got 3 months left of the crop year. So getting any movement on that sugar is probably going to be coming in closer to the new crop. So even when the USDA does do something, I expect they'll have to allow for late entry and moving that into the fourth quarter. So, you know, 34 cents today, unbelievable. Never would have thought I saw that, you know, if we were talking about this a year ago, and here we are.
Wow. Yeah. And I think from a commercial market perspective too, just maybe a little highlight there of what you're seeing or what's activity might be going on.
Yeah, it's certainly that time of year. And I think today we will see almost no activity, Eric, but in general, over the last 2-3 weeks, we have been seeing a lot of activity, particularly on beet sugar side. And a lot of sugar, particularly in the Midwest, has been contracted. We're seeing some of the, you know, top 25 type of industrial users contracting. And once they start moving and things start taking place, you know, it gets a little dangerous to be out there and waiting to contract any little hiccup. And, you know, we're certainly continuing to worry about dryness, particularly in the Red River Valley. Obviously, you know, we've seen some rains here and there, but that upper portion of the Red River Valley and North Dakota, Minnesota, et cetera, has not been as wet as we'd like to see. And certainly some of that hot weather we saw last week up in the Pacific Northwest and moving into some of the beet regions out there.
Right.
Creating concern just to the point where crops do not appear to be above average or anything like that for most regions. I think the one area we continue to see some optimism for is Michigan, and things look really well there. But otherwise, you know, it's hard to say anything's beyond average. So I think activity-wise, definitely, you know, the upside risk, downside potential of the markets is probably suggesting more upside at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And so definitely, you know, seeing it take place. And, you know, prices, I understand the hesitation because prices are not super friendly out there. Most users appear to be looking at about a penny and a half, and maybe in some cases, depending on where you are and what region of the country, as much as a 2-cent price increase over 2021 levels. So not good news, but the one thing to say is, you know, when you look at sugar and you look at these price increases of a penny and a half to 2 cents, and you're talking about, you know, typically less than 5% inflation, not what we're seeing on a lot of other areas. You know, you look at edible oils and you're over 100% increase.
Right.
So it's bad, but it could be a lot worse.
It's all about perspective, I guess. But great recap, Kevin. Appreciate that. Good insights as always in the sugar market. So I think with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up this week. And before we sign off today, I'll just remind everybody out there that we have this wonderful IQ commodity platform, our 24/7 access portal for all of our clients out there. And take a look this week, because obviously we had some big reports that came out with the acreage and grain stocks on Wednesday. We've got a lot of really good analysis, narratives, charts, graphs, and podcasts that Nicole and I did on Wednesday. So be sure to check that out. And for anybody that is not a subscriber or part of the IQ platform, just reach out to us. We'll get you some credentials and walk you through a demo. But we'll go ahead and wrap this up this week, Kevin, and just want to thank all our listeners again. And as Mike always says, live with an attitude of gratitude, enjoy every moment, and have a safe and happy 4th of July.
Have a great 4th, everyone.
Bye-bye.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favell's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favell.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.